Hi, everyone. Now, I promise that I had this first poem selected well in advance of Michael going into the hospital. This is a poem I wrote for Michael, trying to imitate his style, and it's very timely because it not only commemorates Michael, but also this room. This is called The Matter. On Saturday morning at the conference in Ligonier, the poet from Altoona said, "Poems are never finished, only abandoned," according to Auden. Later after lunch, the poet from Shadyside said, "T.S. Eliot said, poems are never really finished, but just abandoned." On Tuesday night, in the varnished back room at Hemingway's, the man said, "Valerie," and then it was settled. The next one, you know, the neuroscientists and Zen Buddhists have kind of come to agreement that our consciousness is really just an illusion that arises from physical things, and I kind of agree with that, which makes it all the more miraculous that we can do things like, you know, write poetry, fall in love, and feel grief. And so this one's called "The Price We Pay for Love." If all we are is molecules, hydrogen, carbon, oxygen, and atoms nothing but random sparks, bound in space by gravity, every single thing replaced, every quivering nanosecond, so you can't even step into the same river once. If the fragile ledger domain of soul engendered in the blood of brain is merely turtles all the abysmal chimeric way down, then how, within the sphere we share, can temporary flesh be flayed, or the ephemeral ghost of self believe the wreck and feel afraid? How can a phantom heart be seared and dumped into a mortal grave? This one's called "The Nuclear Age." The first thing he remembers, an unfurnished room, a plastic pail of warm pink suds, sponges each for a 2-year-old boy and his 12-year-old Aunt Joan, sent to sit with him for the summer, time enough to learn his numbers, to color mostly between the lines, and how to sing the alphabet, time enough to fall in love. No one cares about the weather report or Russians launching satellites, silent springs and fallout shelters, the distant early warning line. In emptiness, they prepare a place for his becoming. Water drips as he scrubs the wall, and she wags with him, "Nah-uh-uh," and he wags her back, "Nah-uh-uh-uh." Neither one cares about the broken clock, the door left ajar at the top of the stair, or the slippery, grimy puddle growing around and under his stocking feet. Okay, this one, I'm sure many people in this room have been to Kinzua Bridge when it was still there, right? State Park? No? Yes? Well, anyway, it was a bridge. It's not there anymore. And this is dedicated to a very special lady, and she knows who she is. This is Kinzua Bridge State Park, 2003. "When I called you from the viaduct, without a single soul in sight, no other cars in the slushy lot, no visitor center open for spring, no rangers or workmen or anyone, just me, the squirrels, and a sheen of mud, how amazed I was to have service here, 300 feet up this abandoned trestle, the trickling middle of nowhere below. When I said you'd never guess what I'd just done, you, sister of brothers, mother of sons, said, 'You peed off that fucking bridge, didn't you?' 3 months later, a big wind came through and left a twisted, entangled heap. Some say phantom trains collided, and the wailing of the ghosts of ghosts skipped for miles in the boreal night, as far as Cyclone and Shingle House." My last poem, I was going to talk some about it, but then I decided not to. I'm just going to read it. It's called "Gelato Fiasco," and no one's really seen this yet. "Maine, like the State Street, Brunswick, Friday at 3 p.m., and 25 degrees, so there's a discount. And this is so peopleful, like a Sunday afternoon July. There must be 30 flavors. It's been over 2 years since you've had gelato. Clocks have just been set ahead, an equinox a week away. It's a beautiful day, and nothing will ever be the same. Man with a backpack said, I meant something, to talk to you for 5 minutes about a new flavor I found in Belgium, just like the first time you tasted Nutella. Except when he says, but it's not Nutella, it's better than Nutella, the counter guy says, I've never tasted Nutella. And everyone in the place says, you've never tasted Nutella? In unison? She's making it here the old-fashioned way, by grinding the beans individually, pouring and filtering gradually, swirling water more and more as they go. Everyone acts like they know each other, all cheerful and totally lacking in guile. Moms gabbing while kids scream and tear through the store. It's a beautiful day, and you will never be the same. Then, old guy with a black fedora, long black coat walks in, pointing, tasting everything, taking everything he hasn't had. No one cares. They just keep giving him tastes. All 30 flavors. They don't care. He doesn't care. He just keeps on taking, tasting, keeps taking until he's tasted it all. You never wanted to try anything. Nothing you hadn't tasted before. What would you taste if I brought you here now? Dark sea, salt, chocolate, caramel, orange, moxie, stracciatella, blueberry, Christ. You never wanted to try anything, and now it's too late. Come back. Come and stand with me now. It'll be better this time. It's not too late. I'll be better this time. I'll forgive you, and you'll forgive me. It's not too late to take it back. There's time to taste, to try again. Try that. Take this. Come back. Come back and taste it all again. Again. It's a late afternoon at the end of a week. Night will grow shorter in the lengthening day. It's cold, but the sun, my God, the sun. It's a beautiful day, but you're still not here. And you and I will never be the same. Thank you.